The Just Because deal.
Hey, oh, what's this?
Breakfast from Mickey D's.
From me?
Yep.
Why?
Because it's morning and you like McDonald's. Let's eat while it's hot.
There's a deal for every act of kindness at McDonald's.
You don't need a reason when the one and only hot and melty sausage McMuffin with egg is just $2.50. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Hey there! Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy. Editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. It is time to talk about employment laws for 2023. So welcome to Big Blend Radio Success Express Business and Career Show. So, you know, every fourth Wednesday, we get to chat with Ward. Ward is a San Diego employment attorney, and he comes on every month to update us on laws, regulations, because it is a little bit busy in California when it comes to laws and regulations, and it's always changing and they're always adding up. So everyone, if you go to bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com, you can keep up with Ward there and his blog and contact him if you need him, because a lot of Californians may be needing him in 2023 with this list of laws. But his article on the new laws is also up on blendradioandtv.com and will be in the next issue of Success Express Business and Career Magazine. So welcome back, Ward. How are you?
I'm doing well, and thanks for having me. We had some fun yesterday with your traveling around the country thing, so that was fun.
Big Blend
I'm glad to be
bus.
Back on. Yeah, your party bus.
Yeah, with Priscilla cool. The stock monkey. Yeah. She says hi. She's feeling a little tired and worn out today, but
oh,
you know,
poor thing.
Yeah. I know.
She wants a raise too.
Yeah,
she does. To negotiate. Yes,
And she says, you know, because she was serving all this food, now she's going after us because of this fast food act in California. And now she's mad because she thought that she had extra protections, and now she heard that that's gone away. So, I mean, you've been on two times talking about this act, and now you say, no, it's not happening now.
I'm not saying no.
Well, the people
said
no.
Remember the first line of my article? Not so fast.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's really true, because the Fast Recovery Act, which is a new law, it's a groundbreaking law in the United States. They have things like this in Europe, but it's the first law that I know of that does this, where a state says, hey, look, we're going to have a council that's appointed by the governor mostly, that will represent this sector of the economy. And the sector we're talking about is the fast food sector. And that council has the, you know, assuming that the law passes, and we don't know, and we'll get into that in a second. But if the law passes, then the council has the authority to increase minimum wage up to $22 and make the workplace safer and healthier, things like that. But like you were alluding to, Lisa, the Fast Recovery Act has been not put on hold, but is going to go up to a vote for all the next election, so that all the California voters can vote on it, decide whether it should become law or not.
Oh, wow. So this opens it up to the actual Californian citizens of California.
Yes. Yes.
The people get to vote.
People get to decide this.
I think that's cool.
I don't think it's bad. You know, they wanted to make it operative on January 1st of 2023. Mm. That's what the governor had signed. The governor had signed the law, but the powers to be on the restaurant side said, hey, wait a second, we're going to qualify this for the ballot. And they got over 1 million signatures, and they needed like 650,000, something like that. They got a lot. And so it's probably, you know, they're going to check and make sure the signature is okay. There's a process for that, but it probably will pass. And so very likely it's going to be on the ballot for 2024. And then the people get to vote on it.
Wow. But so then, Gavin got some blue.
The people on the council, like, are they qualified, or are they just anybody? How do you get on the council to make these judgment calls? Are they people that have had restaurants themselves? Are they food people? Are they just
it's a politician? Mix. Yeah, no, it's a mix. Now, I mean, you know, the appointment process is going to be something else, though, and we don't really know how that's going to work out. But the idea is that they have a mix of interests on the council. There'll be people who represent the employees. There'll be people who represent the employers. So, you know, the franchises and the franchisors or the employees and then the franchisors are represented. It looks to me the way it's put together that the employees will probably have more say, but the bottom line is, and it's because the political, you know, our legislature is mostly Democrat. And so that tends to be employee friendly. And so the appointments will skew that way probably. And so that's, you know, that's what I would expect, assuming it passes.
Wow.
But that doesn't mean that the employers don't have a say. They do. They do have a say on the council.
Wow. So a lot coming. So that would end up being for 2024. So we don't get to even really talk about it next year. It's kind of done thing.
No. Well, it won't be in effect until 2025. I'm assuming it's going to be January 1st, 2025, assuming it passes in the election cycle.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a couple of years away.
Okay. And then this is one that's really interesting to me about pay data and job posting requirements, because this is kind of weird where now, like, you have to tell everybody. So everybody's going to know how much everybody makes, kind of thing.
Well, it's a little more than that, because under California law under federal law, employees have the right to discuss their salaries and wages. You can't stop them. Now, you know, I think some employers try to, and probably some employers get away with it, but it's definitely in the law. And if someone were to bring it up, it'd be a problem for the employer. So it's more than that, though. And there's two different groups here. There's the group of employers who have 15 or more employees, and they when they do a job posting, they have to post the salary range. And it's supposed to, the idea is, you know, we have this inequity in pay, and you've heard about in the news for, you know, at least a decade, that women get paid less than men. And so it's really to combat that. That's the idea. And also there's other potential inequities. If you're people of color, often there's less pay, you know.
So I like this now.
Yeah, the statistics don't look that great sometimes. It depends. So this is a way of saying, hey, here's what you can expect to be paid before you even apply for the job. And then before, an employer could say, I think I'll offer this amount to you. And they wouldn't tell you what other people are getting offered. Exactly. So this is supposed to make it more above board. That's the idea.
Oh, because I thought more like, you get a bonus and then they tell you not to tell anybody, you know.
Well, that's what the coffee break room is for. Everybody goes in the coffee room and they all talk about how much are you getting paid. You're not supposed to tell. I'm getting paid this. And the other person goes into shock because you're getting paid less or more.
Right.
And then you're like, hey, wait a minute. Why am I getting less? Because I'm female or because I'm Black or because I'm Chinese or whatever. What is that? You know, you either have the qualifications or you don't.
Right. So before, all employees were entitled to talk about their salaries. And the idea is, well, if there's a problem, I get to bring it up. And they do. But do you really want to approach your boss with that? Maybe, maybe not. This law is supposed to put it right up front from the very beginning. Mm. And then not only do they have to post the salary range, if an employee asks for what the salary range in their job is, the employer has to provide it. Again, that's for employers who employ 15 or more employees.
And this is, and they also have to do something because of the number of hours. So they have to be straight up about that, right? Or am I skipping ahead to a different law? Is it the same thing about?
It's the same law, but it applies to a different group of employers. Those who have who employ 100 or more employees.
Okay.
Then they have to categorize. There's Bureau of Labor Statistics that has 8 broad categories of jobs, and they have to disclose how many, the race, sex, gender, et cetera, of people in each category. So you get the number of people in each category by race, sex, and I'm not saying it quite right. What's the other one? Race, sex, ethnicity. So race, ethnicity, and sex.
Hey.
They also in the California law. Now that's supposed to happen under federal law, and I don't think it does very often. But in California, you also have to show the pay that people are getting, the average pay in each of those ethnic racial.
Wow! So you can see if you're paying a white person, you know, the typical white guy gets more than everybody else, kind of thing. You can see it. According to,
Of course, I have a bias there, but no, let's be fair. No, I got it. Plus, I have my own shingle, and I can just charge whatever I want. Someone decides whether they want to pay it or not. But the statistics show that white males do tend to make more than everyone else. Mm. Very true.
Yeah,
and so the idea is to bring this out in the open. Try to discover the causes, try to take care of any inequities that really exist.
I know from my own working career when I worked for an insurance company, in fact, several different ones, I could never understand why I'd have the same job, sometimes way more years of experience, but the guy would at the same job would get like $200-$300 more a month. And you know what?
Yeah.
That sucks. It sucks.
Yeah, no, it does. You're right. And I've heard that story more than once. I have to say, there does seem to be some type of bias. I mean, a fair bias. You're an example of that.
The bosses used to say, because, okay, and this really, which I found really lame as an excuse, women take off more sick days because they have periods. I think that's BS. I don't think that's true, but that was one of their excuses.
And children, California is
pregnant. Pregnant, but they didn't do it alone. Sorry.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel anytime.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it, but nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel anytime.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better? You really can do it, but nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
And now we have man moms who now end up taking care of kids.
Man moms? Is that what they're called?
Well, I don't know. But that's my term for it, where you have guys who are taking care of kids now. You know,
yeah.
Stay-at-home dads.
Man moms.
I like man moms, though.
That's pretty interesting. Man moms. Are you a man mom? No, but I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah.
But I think if Nancy's got a point, and what's cool about these laws, though, is that if something happens, as an attorney, you have a law to back you up to nail somebody if they're being it goes under the whole discrimination, right?
Well, it could. I'm not going to say that every situation would necessarily lead to a case of discrimination, but the employer, if called out on it, has to prove why there is this pay inequity. So they may be able to say, hey, this person worked as a manager 3 years, and this other person who happens to be a white guy did 10. So I'm just going to pay this guy more, and that's a good reason. And so they, you know, they really could win that case, but they have to come up with a reason now. If it's challenged, it's not necessarily that they're going to be challenged, but if they're challenged, there's another law that talks about the proof and how you prove things and what level of proof you have to come up with for that kind
of thing. Okay, so what happens with pronouns? Is that going to be next? Like, if you don't use the correct pronoun that somebody gives you, that you're going to, I mean, because it's getting confusing and hard, and I'm not against it. It is what it is. And, you know, it's hard to understand some of it and how to address even in the English language. I mean, I had someone want me to use, and it went against English grammar, they, to refer to them as they, when I thought they were talking about their group, but it was they are they. So, an individual
says I'm they.
Yes, the pronouns. I'm a he, she, he, whatever, they, it.
Yeah.
So is that going to become a situation down the road, do you think, in employment law? I'm just saying, it's coming.
Let me get out my crystal ball.
I know.
I don't know.
I know. I'm just going there.
So certainly it's not a part of this record-keeping requirement we've been talking about.
Okay.
And will it potentially someday? I don't think it's big enough issue yet. I'm not saying it couldn't be, but I don't think the legislature will pass a law like that next year. You know, but give it some time. Possible. Yeah,
it is possible because it's California, right? So, and then this Privacy Rights Act. Okay. What personal information are we talking about?
Good question. All right. So you've got to fill out forms when you apply for a job. You have to fill out more forms if you get the job. And those forms have personal information on them.
Even so like your social security and stuff like that.
Social security, W-9, I-9, you know, all that stuff.
Even my prison records.
But I mean, how did they know what?
Interesting, you say prison records, but I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Nicely, sir. But well, if I would like to know if you've been to prison before I hire you, not saying I wouldn't or
would. There's Ban the Box. Interesting. She said that. You know about Ban the Box? Ban the Box means you don't have to check that you've been to prison or broken laws or something like that. In certain jobs you do, if you're working for the government, certain things, you know, trying to get a police job, yes.
Okay.
Disclose. Other than that, you don't, but the employer is allowed to find out after that. And then they have to, if they say, hey, we found this out and we think that we need to withdraw our offer because you've already offered the job by this point. Based on that, and then they've got to come up with a good reason why that applies to this type of job. And if it doesn't, then they've got a problem. Then the law is saying, well, now you're just being prejudiced against someone who's got a record.
Right, because people do rehab, you know. Some people end up in prison for things that, I mean, just for smoking.
And it's tough
joint,
to get a job. If you've got a prison record, it's hard.
I think people should have, I mean, if you've served time, especially with what's happening in corporate prisons and how people do get arrested for a lot of things that you don't need to do the amount of time or whatever, we have a mess in the prison system. Let's just put it that way. In the corporate prison system, that's a whole other show. And once I start, I won't stop. So I'll behave. But when people, there's so many people that have gone to jail in prison over misdemeanor things like, you know, marijuana or whatever, and gotten blamed for things like that they didn't do and whatever. So there should be, people just can't be, you know, punished beyond punishment point. You know what I mean?
Then you have, don't you have like the 3-month?
I mean, some people need to not be out ever.
But when you hire somebody, thinking back years and years ago, when I hired people, we had a 3-month probationary period. And if you found out or saw something within the 3 months that made you feel that this was not the employee for you, then you could get, you know, well, bye-bye. You could, without any retaliation.
Well, no, not necessarily without retaliation, but there many employers do have probationary periods. It's not required by the law. I think it makes sense because of the sick leave law, which doesn't go, you can't start taking sick leave before 90 days, even though you can start accruing it. So I think it makes sense to have a 90-day probationary period that is in conjunction with that sick leave law so that you can decide, you can make a better decision on whether you want to keep this person now.
Yeah.
There's no real practical reason. I mean, there's a practical reason. There's no legal reason, really, because just because they're on probation doesn't mean that you get to discriminate against them.
So, no, but
and they're still at will regardless. So if you had no probationary period, you could do the same thing and not call it a probation period and go, well, you're at will. We just want to let you go. Now, if they if the real reason is discriminatory, then they're going to have a problem. But if not, yeah, at will, you get you're gone. It's just that easy in California.
Apparently, Elon Musk can fire a lot of people all at once.
But people do like probationary periods because it does, it kind of sets up, we're looking at each other. We're going to dance a little bit and see if it works. So
it
people do
fair.
Like it. And again, I think it does make sense because of the sick leave law.
Yeah, anyway. It makes sense. I think it's fair. So, but Lisa's right. Look at Elon Musk. He buys a company and fires a whole bunch of people without, he doesn't even know who they are and he fires them. I mean, how does
California? He's allowed to do that unless he's being discriminatory. So if he fired only people over, that, you know, 55, oh, that would be a problem. If he fired only people of one race, that would be a problem. But if he's mixed it up and, you know, it's hard to detect any type of discrimination, he gets to do it in California.
Yeah. And I think throughout the country, I think. I mean, it is an old managerial tactic of when you take over a company to just start fresh. It's a you know, I interviewed a corporate lawyer on this and he's like, this is part of it. And, you know, people, it's like pulling a Band-Aid off a wound. But I mean, Twitter, like, what the hell, man? I'm going to miss Twitter if it goes away. I like my Twitter. But
I like Twitter too. It's not going to go away. No, it's,
I don't,
you know, whether.
Think so.
Whether no, it's not going to go away. He didn't it's you hear that he just did a survey in his company asking if he should stay on as CEO, and the survey came back no, and so he said he's stepping down.
He's well, let's watch him.
Yeah,
well, we'll
see.
He said he's going to.
But I think
no, this is. But anyway, even if he were there. I don't think Twitter's going anywhere. Now we'll let fewer people like it. Will fewer people use it? Maybe. But
actually, you know what? I lost people because a lot of people left, you know, and there's a lot of people I connected with and left. But I think I maybe lost like 50 out of just under 16,000 people. So that's not a lot, really.
No, and that's what I would think.
Maybe not.
It's
not even a
percent. People who really have a beef with it are going to quit.
Yeah.
I don't think most of us are. You know,
and everyone,
do I think he made the right
decisions?
Oh, I have to quip with some of his decisions, but I'm still on Twitter. You know?
I know. Well, because we connect with people and everyone at Ward Heinrichs, at Big Blend Mags. Mm-hmm. Keep up with us there because we
it's
do. We're all there.
Though.
It is.
But
it's interesting.
You know, it's like the new guy comes in and heads will roll. That's so old school. I'm just really surprised for somebody his age to act like he's 80s. That's an 80-year-old thing.
But I want to go back. I want to go back to the privacy of this because it was interesting because you talk about this privacy law holding people's information and protecting it, basically, you know, and that's important because a lot is done online now, too. So that includes probably making sure you have safe servers and all of that stuff, because it's not just you're not filling out a hand application anymore. We're doing so much online. So don't we have to worry about, you know, that your personal information on a website on a company computer could be hacked. I mean, is that part of that?
I no, honestly, I don't think so. I think it's control of the information, and whether how it's going to be used and all. All right, so I think that's why it was made, but it does give a ton of power to the individual employee. they can actually delete information. And maybe that's not the best. I'm not sure about that part of it. Ooh. We'll see. You know what I think, though? I think most people aren't going to really pay attention, and they're just going to, you know. But sometimes it might be useful to take a look at your stuff and delete stuff. But they might delete something that is really important to know.
Wow.
And then that could be a big problem. So it'll be interesting. It's an interesting law.
It's interesting. Huh. That goes back to Twitter and deleting. You know, it's like people save what you deleted. So once you've posted, you've posted, you know, especially if you're a bigwig like Elon, you know, people are going to, you know, copy his post. They do it to Trump. Trump couldn't take things down without people going, oh, yeah, here's the evidence. But when there was that mass firing and even people walking out because he did that ultimatum, none of that was private anymore because of Twitter. So it was really interesting.
Exactly.
People going, oh, yeah, and then starting new things. So it's definitely an interesting era that we're in. But one thing I really want to touch on was a law that you put in here, the 1949 bereavement leave, because you know, I remember it's like if you were able to take a day off, it would go on your sick leave, if that, right?
Yes.
And it had to be like your spouse or your child. This bereavement law, to me, I mean, I obviously couldn't be very wrong at anything, is open doors for extended families and you know what I mean? So it's not just your immediate.
You're absolutely right. You've read that right.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel anytime.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it, but nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Feeling stuck in your current job? Looking for a career pivot? Are you a proven leader looking to step up? The University of Maryland's Robert H. Smith School of Business prepares students to meet challenges, solve problems, and obtain a profound understanding of how to operate in the modern economy. With MBA and MS programs offering flexible options to fit your lifestyle and goals. GMAT and GRE not required. Learn more today at go.umd.edu/smithschool. University of Maryland Smith School of Business. Inspired, fearless, unstoppable.
Now, companies, I'm not sure, I don't know too many, I don't think many of my clients actually offer bereavement leave, but some companies do already. This now is a law that will go into effect in 2023 that requires companies to offer bereavement leave. 5 days of unpaid bereavement leave for someone who is, you know, within your relatively close family. So grandparents are part of that. A parent-in-law is part of that. Children, of course. Some are obvious. Some are, you know, further askew, but still probably, you know, makes some sense. I mean, if your grandfather dies, don't you want to go, you know, go to the funeral? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So that's good. And also now, you know, people that are... they don't do commonwealth law, right, in California, where like if you've been living together for 7 years, you're practically married.
You know? Oh, boy.
That's why don't do that.
I think that the rate is called
common law marriage.
So if you're not really married.
I think we do have it in California. I'm pretty sure almost every state does.
It's like
common seed, never stay with them for 7 years, bail before the 7 years comes. I'm just kidding. Well, I mean,
smart man.
If you've been with someone for seven years and they die, then you need to be able to have that bereavement law, right? You know, and I think most companies I have a friend right now who just lost her mother. And she had to go and really nurse her for a couple of weeks going through this medical thing. And then she ended up in hospice and she just passed. And, you know, so I know she was off work for, you know, she's one of those, she works like we all do. Like, you know, I'm always going to check my emails and do what I can. But for about 2 weeks, you know, she was handling something really, I mean, it's your mother. That's a life-changing you know,
no, that's a biggie.
But most companies I know, I mean, are going to work with their employees when they're really good. And she's, excuse me, a badass. And so I would do anything to keep that employee if I was boss. You know
absolutely.
I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, and like you said, there were other ways of handling it. Just take a leave off the books, use your vacation, you know, stuff like that. I'm sure it happened all the time. I honestly just don't run into that issue very much. So my practical knowledge isn't that great, but I know, you know, just generally how things work. And I know that sometimes it's vacation, sometimes, hey, just take a break, you know, we'll be here when you come back. That kind of thing.
Exactly.
So I think it generally was taken care of to some degree. And I don't know how often people were denied it. And so maybe you need the law so it's not denied, but I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. I think most companies step up to that.
I think so too.
If you're a valued employee. Now, if you're somebody that's kind of on the fence, it might be.
If you're new, that's a hard thing too. So in a way, if you're new, these laws can help you. If you just started work and, you know, your loved one, you know, passes, you're like, oh, like I've got a new job. Are they going to keep me? You know, that kind of thing. You know, what if a child has died or something? So that kind of law can help, you know. The other law you talk about is other reasons for leave of absence.
Yeah,
I'm going for a party, dude. I'm going on a cruise.
That's not a. No.
I'm going on floating Margaritaville.
That's called vacation.
Sorry. Let's go to Margaritaville right now. It's cold.
Hey, what about mental health? Like when somebody just gets all stressed out.
Yeah.
And it's not. How can you have a mental health leave because you just.
Mental health leave. Well, it could be covered under sick leave. That's possible.
Mm-hmm. I think it's getting to be more like that because, I mean, we're seeing so many situations,
I was going to say under the CFRA that we're talking about, or that's one of them, it's sick leave and CFRA that are affected by the AB 41. Now, we're getting a little skew of what this whole article is about.
We're good at that.
Mental health could be part of California Family Rights Act, which is the same, nearly the same thing as the FMLA on the federal level. The Medical Leave Act. The change that's been made in California for both the sick leave and the California Family Rights Act is that you can designate someone for whom you can stay home and take care of if they have a qualifying illness issue. So it's not just grandparent, parent, sibling, parent-in-law, domestic partner, registered domestic partner. It's also someone you say, hey, they don't fit into any of these categories, but they're darn close to me. It's my godmother, you know, whatever. So you get to designate someone every 12 months. So the employer has the right to say, you can only designate one person every 12 months. You can change them after that 12 months, but you can only designate one for every 12 months. But assuming that there is a sick issue, and you can do it like, my godmother is sick. I'm designating her today. I haven't designated anyone else. And I'm going to help her.
What about my dog?
Kicks in.
Your dog?
That's more liberal than California is now, but wait
it's,
10 years.
It's coming. Dogs and pronouns are the next.
Well, because they're companions, like a companion dog.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes they're, I mean, I'm sorry, but animals are part of family. They are. And, you know, so I'll do that liberal thing on that. I have to stay home because of my pet. That's happening.
She for companion dogs.
Yes. I'm really interested in this one.
It's not the law now.
I know. So then I'm going to go back.
You can
I'm
dream,
really guessing.
And it may come to reality.
I know. There it is. You know, believe in your dreams. Employee rights in emergency situation. This SB 1044. This is a very interesting new. And probably quite necessary law. Are you kind of like, wow, this is when you see these kind of laws that are pretty serious. Is this kind of a wake up call to the way our life is now? As like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it came out of the pandemic to some degree, and then gosh, the fires.
The fires. I was thinking the fires, and of course, there's school shootings,
things like that, and that was swept into this. And so, if there's an emergency situation, and the employee has a reasonable belief that it's an emergency situation, then they can leave work or not come to work. If depending on a few things, one, if the workplace seems to be an emergency situation, then they wouldn't have to come to work, or they could leave work. If their schools or if their kid's school has an emergency situation, they can leave work or not come to work to help kid or do whatever they need to do. Mm-hmm. There's another one that I'm not remembering, but anyways,
if it's their home. If it's their home.
Yeah. Home's the other one. And the fires are a great example of that. If the fire is sweeping in on top of your home, I gotta leave work. I'm going to grab some important papers before the fire burns my house.
Right. And exactly.
Then I'm going to, maybe be back, kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think that even goes for people that are working remotely, that you may have to, you may be working at home. You know what I mean?
You got to leave.
Zoom or whatever.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You're
still going to leave. It doesn't matter where you are. Well, because you're having earth. I mean, there was just earthquakes now. Look what happened just up in Northern California.
I know.
We were just there. I mean, it's like,
earthquakes and earthquakes, sure.
Yeah, earthquakes, all of that happens. And we are kind of, right now I'm talking to friends who are going through an ice storm. So it's like, it could happen with what, but they're not in California. So they want your law.
They would like that law. And there were some horror stories about fires where the employer said, you can't go, I think that's super rare, super, super, super rare.
I don't think it's a big, huge problem,
but it is a big, huge problem to this degree. That person now has a bad choice to make.
Right.
Do I go and save my house and my children and my cattle, whatever it is, or do I get fired? So,
and depending on
this law says they can't do that.
And where you are, that could be really bad. I mean, what happens if it's the only job you can get in the region that you're in,
No, it could be really a big problem. And again, I honestly think that most employers are pretty reasonable and they work through these things. But there were some horror stories. So,
and if I would say that's it, I'm out. Like, but you wouldn't go back, would you? Yeah, but you'd
go back.
People have to raise.
You just go get another job. You just go get another job.
But it's not that easy. Depending on where people are.
I know, but then sometimes when you think about it, the person who won't let the person go save his home or his family or whatever, how does he look in the community, and who's going to want to work for him or do business?
That person sucks. Basically, you suck. Yeah,
basically, that company, I would think, would reap more bad feelings and less business in the years to come for that kind of behavior.
They suck if they do that. But the thing, having that law is important because there are people in smaller communities, and California has a lot of small communities
especially up north. Yeah.
And if you're having to take care of kids, it could, if you're a single mom, I mean, come on, there's so many situations. And it's a really cruddy thing. I had to watch my language. Cruddy thing to happen.
Well done.
Well done. I did it. A cruddy thing to do. And you have to go and get a new job over it. It is going to end up being better in the long run. It just could be really, really rough for people, and to be put in that situation, lose your job and maybe lose your home, and maybe even lose loved ones in an emergency. As an employer, you suck. And if that ever happens to you, call me. I'll put them all over the website and magazine. Like,
kaboom.
You suck.
Right.
The you suck page. We should.
More powerful than the law.
No, we can't be more powerful than Ward on those things, because Ward, you're gonna have to protect us for, because we'll go, we wrote this in the magazine, you're gonna go, now you're really in trouble because you're gonna get sued. You never know, people are sue happy. minimum wage and salary, of course, keep going up. But now I'm looking at the numbers that you posted in your article. $15.50 for minimum wage for all California employees, but the minimum salary, wow. So basically, starting January 1st, the minimum salary will now be $64,480.
Wow. That sounds so,
no matter what, across the board.
Time out. Minimum salary if you want to qualify the person as exempt.
Oh.
You could give a smaller salary and they wouldn't be qualified as exempt, but then you risk them working overtime and having to be paid for it. So in a practical way, you probably don't want to do that because you don't want to risk that. Unless you know, hey, this is a 35-hour job, I'm going to give you salary. You're probably okay. No. Maybe not. I normally wouldn't recommend that because there's just a risk that I think you could avoid, but you could probably do it and be fine. But if you want them to be exempt and work more than 40 hours a week or 8 hours in a day, which normally, you know, they're the type of person in exempt position that are going to work more than 40 hours, then you have to pay them next year. You have to pay them $64,480. To qualify for that exemption.
You could buy a car a year, you know, that's a car a year.
No.
That's a Tesla and that's all your salary.
That's it. And you have no food, no food,
no food, no home,
no parties, no Margaritaville for you.
But you could probably get a bank loan and we don't have to talk about this.
Oh no, but it's gone up. And so, wow. So that's a big, it's moving on up.
Yeah. No, that's a big chunk. I've known about this for a few months. And when I first saw that number, I'm going, wow, that's a big nut to hit. So employers, I think there's a lot of employers that have to start thinking about, well, make some of these people hourly. But of course, then you have to pay overtime. So if they're really working 60 hours a week, maybe that doesn't make sense. You just have to do the calculation, bottom line.
But then the city of San Diego, you said like that could be like, that's the state, right? So if you're a manager of a retail store in little town of Julian, oh boy, you're going to, and you're on a salary, you're doing really well. But if you're in the city of San Diego and you look at minimum wage as higher, right? It's $16.30 for the city of San Diego versus what Julian is going to be at the $15.50, right? So then if the salary, if the wages are $16.30, then the salary is $16.30 times two for a salary.
The minimum salary is only limited by the state minimum wage.
Okay. All right.
Local minimum wage do not affect minimum salary.
Okay, so that's good. It is what it is.
So when I was looking up some of this stuff, I was looking at the municipalities that had the highest minimum wage. Mountain View was $18.84. I might be wrong on the 84, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. 1884. Wow, Bay
What's
Area.
What's going on in Mountain View? Is it?
It's well-to-do. And the Bay Area has... Really? Lots of little towns and cities and et cetera that have higher minimum wage.
Palo Alto has got to be huge. Palo Alto, San Jose, all of those.
I'm sure. Yes, San Jose was bigger. Palo Alto, I don't remember.
Silicon Valley, right? But then all of that is changing because look at Meta getting rid of people, Twitter getting rid of people. This is interesting. Your job, you're going to get paid more and there's going to be less people working is what I see happening.
Well, all right. So economically, you're seeing in society that employers are looking to get employees. They're working hard to get them. And so they're actually paying more than minimum wage in many situations just to attract people to work for them. So I think it's already kind of happening by itself because of the economic situation we're in right now. Maybe 3 years from now, that won't be. And then you'll have this minimum wage floor. All right, I'm going to go on the record real quick and just say, to me, I don't love minimum wage because I'm a libertarian and I go, doggone it. You know, you are what you're worth. Go out there and shake a hand, and that's what you really should be worth. I think the economy is pretty good at valuing what you're worth at a job. So I think minimum wage does cost. I think it undercut, gets rid of lower level jobs, people who would say, hey, look, I'm retired, I'll work for, you know, $10.50 and I'll sweep the floors. And that to that, there, that's extra income. But they're not going to get that job because who's going to hire a senior citizen for the same amount that you could hire a 25-year-old? You know, pretty tough. So there's things like that that happen that I just don't love. And I think I understand America loves minimum wage, and that's fine. It's just a difference in opinion and how I look at the economy. But it's there. It's here. It's here to stay. It's never going away. So you just have to deal with it.
But I think it comes from employers that, depending on how the market for employment is, like sometimes you have a whole bunch of people who want jobs and sometimes you don't. So it fluctuates. When it's a job market, then the people getting the jobs call the shot. When it's an employer market, it's the other way around. So the minimum wage, I think, was put in to make sure everybody could actually live on it, which you really can't.
No, it's not true.
That was the excuse,
but it's just not true.
Reason, but it doesn't work.
But this goes back to the FAST Act, you know, the fast food. You know, it goes back to that same kind of thing, too, because now it used to be teenagers, and you can tell just the way we travel the country. I'm sorry, but McDonald's does have good coffee.
They do. I like McDonald's.
Nancy has to have her hash browns and I have to have my coffee. Otherwise, we're not going to make it across the country as we go. But we do it. And you see different communities and actual regions and states. You can see, this area is hiring kids, you know, young students and you know, maybe up to not even college age, right? Just under that. And then you'll go in a region and there's no kids doing it. It's adults. And you're wondering, why are you doing kids? You know, it's like if you're seeing adults at grocery stores, and now we don't have people at
Walmart
packaging things.
Like the Walmart greeters.
I mean,
yeah, because so can you imagine if that was like a 16-year-old, welcome to Walmart?
We're in a really interesting, it really is by region. And I think that's what's interesting about state laws. And city laws, because it really is different depending on where you're going. What works in California ain't going to work here in Tennessee. I'll tell you that where we are right now. Those two things are not—they're not compatible.
No, very different. No, I agree. And the labor laws are I don't know Tennessee law that well, but I have run into it a little bit, and that they are different than California. One thing about the minimum wage and the jobs you were talking about is, if the minimum wage is pretty high, then you're less likely to hire the college kid or the teenager, you know, because are you really going to pay them that much? Let me get someone, an adult who has a little more experience, who I'm more comfortable with. It does cut things out. And to me, is unfortunate in many ways. But there's a good side of it, too. I'm not saying it's, you know, there's a good side of it, too.
Yeah. The other thing too is, like, you used to do those kind of jobs to get work experience and to learn how to have a job. So the employer didn't pay as much because they knew you're training. You're training this kid that's never had a job how to be responsible. And who knows if the parents taught them how to be responsible. I mean, I'm not going there, you know, but
a job's different, even if the parents are pretty good at training, they're giving responsibility to their kids. A job is different. You know, you have different expectations, and, you know, this is the first time a man is standing over you, you know, and so that's, you know.
And they say, no, you can't go crying home to mom going, wah. They said, no, I did a bad job. Wah, you got to grow up. You know, it's like.
Well, it's interesting because there's all kinds of employers, just like there is all kinds of employees. And so you've got the employers that are intimidating and not, shouldn't be employers. And then you have the ones that maybe could go a little too nicey-nicey in trying to find a straight arrow employer where it's fair for everybody, it's not that easy. You know, just like for
being a manager is not an easy job. It takes skill.
No, it's not. It really dealing with people is like, oh my gosh, it's so much easier to deal with animals.
That you know they're making fun of you behind your back. You know you've got a bunch of nicknames that you may hear at some point if you're a manager, and you're especially if you're not treating the employees well. So you know it's interesting, but. Good roundup of laws. I mean, I can't believe this. Ward, every year, here comes the list. I think maybe one year it was thin and minimum wage was the big deal in independent contractors. That, you know, but now it's like
so huge back then.
You guys, like California laws are breeding, man. It's like they're popping out every other day.
Yep.
It's amazing.
And this is just employment. There's a bunch of other laws too that I don't even deal with.
Oh my gosh.
But no, it always changes. And I think this year's slate's pretty interesting. And I left some out. I just think that these are probably the most important
ones
for our group that we talked
about. Well, everyone,
there are other ones.
Ward's article is up on blendradioandtv.com. You'll see his other articles and past interviews. And of course, keep up with him at bestemploymentattorneysandiego.com. Even on the Christmas party, I was like, Ward's got the best domain name. And he's aggressive.
Heck yeah, I'm aggressive.
He's
Hire
aggressive.
Me.
I know. He's aggressive. He'll take you out. He's the man.
You need your own billboard.
Yeah, and keep up with him here every fourth Wednesday on Big Blend Radio. Our shows air at bigblendradio.com, YouTube, everywhere. So keep up with us there. And of course, Ward, have a wonderful new year. And
thank you.
Listen, I know you're going to go fishing. Have fun. And we'll see you in January for our anniversary party. We're going
to
have
I'm looking forward to it. Sounds good.
You know what? We're actually decreasing in age. It's this amazing new thing. It's called champagne on Sundays. Get younger with every sip.
Wow. I guess I'll start.
Bubble.
Champagne on Sunday.
Every bubble makes you younger.
Exactly. You know, I'll see if the champagne can talk to your beer and maybe the beer will help.
It makes me younger. No doubt.
I get it. It's all about the bubbles. Everyone have a wonderful new year. Be safe, have fun, and enjoy the rest of 2022. And let's all kick butt in 2023. Thanks,
Ward. You're welcome.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Diamonds, silver, and gold? Oh my! Find your love language at JCPenney's Valentine's Day Jewelry Sale. Enjoy dazzling deals with your JCPenney credit card and coupon, like up to 70% off jewelry and up to 60% off modern bride rings. Plus, say yes please to $25 diamonds and gemstones while they last. Happy Valentine's Day, JCPenney. Offers valid on select styles through 2/20, subject to credit approval. Yes please jewelry excluded from coupons. Other exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.